North Rock Podcast.
Yeah, freedom. That's what we're talking about. We started last week, and we're going to take a couple months to talk about freedom. What I want all of us to do, whether we're here every week or not, because you can always get caught up online, northrockchurch.com with podcasts, but take every week and look at it as a piece of a puzzle that God wants us to put together. So over the next couple months, what I believe God wants to do with us is we take all of these different pieces and we put it together and we see a beautiful picture of what freedom looks like and what freedom can look like in our lives. Again, the reason why we're talking about this is that the Gospels talk about a God who looked down and saw a humanity that was in slavery, in bondage, to sin, to death, to the things of this world. And so what the response was on God's part is, I'll send my son Jesus. He'll go and he will break the chains. He will break death. He will defeat death. He will overcome sin. And he does that all for us so that we can have victory in our life. So he conquered those things for us. And the reason was for freedom. Jesus says, I have come to give, to proclaim the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, and to release those that are bound, release those that are in captivity. So freedom is something that God desires for all of us. But the reality is we live in a world where we don't see as much freedom as we could. And in our own lives, we don't see as much freedom as what God has designed us to be, to walk in. So what the sermon title is this week is Free Your Mind, and the rest will follow. Should I do it, Sean? I should do it. Free your mind, and the rest will follow. Okay, thank you. Yeah. A little falsetto there for you. If you remember nothing else, just remember that. Free your mind, and the rest will follow. It all starts with the mind, and we are going to talk about freedom in our minds is the beginning of freedom in our whole beings. Romans chapter 12 is the text we're going to be looking at. If you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at the first two verses in that. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have it up on the screen for you. Bring your Bibles if you have one. If you don't, we can get you a Bible. It's a great opportunity to mark it up, highlight. There's a number of places in my Bible where I highlight and I actually put a date. And then when I read it again, I remember exactly what God was speaking to me, where I was, and what took place in my life at that time. God's promises are there because he wants us to know what he has for each one of us, and that's what the Word of God is. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Again, we are going to free our minds, and the rest will follow, okay? That didn't go as well as I thought it would that time. I should have just stuck with the first one, right? Quit while you're ahead. Romans 12, 1 and 2 begins with this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The word conform is actually a form of bondage. It's you're conforming. You actually, what's happening is you're actually becoming like what is happening or what is pulling you in your life. So you become in bondage to something that you were never meant to be in bondage of. So it's something that gets a hold of you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So what we see here is God wants to transform us into a new person, and he does that by renewing our minds, by changing the way you think. In fact, another translation says, this translation here, the New Living Translation, says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We see here that it all starts with our minds. It starts with our thought life. We all have different ways that we think, different ways that we process and view life. And how many of you know that it all begins with our minds? When things come in our eyes, what's there waiting for that thought? Our mind is right behind there waiting for it. When things come in our ears, what is there? What's the next stopping point? It starts with our ears. The next stopping point is our minds. And so our minds are a very important part of who we are. God wants to bring about a transformation in our lives, a change, a metamorphosis, as we saw in the video. And why he wants to do that is he wants to change the state of where we are. Maybe it's in slavery and bondage to something and captive to something in this world. And he wants to release us from that. And the metamorphosis, when we're completely done, is we are free. If you look at a caterpillar, they're kind of bound to the ground and they're very slow. But by the time the transformation happens, what happens is then they're free. They can fly. And it's a beautiful picture of the freedom that God has for our lives. God wants to bring a transformation in our lives. And it says here in Romans chapter 12 that he does that by what? By renewing our minds. Verse 2 says, your mind will be renewed, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and perfect and pleasing. How many of you know that God's will isn't just okay, it's not just cool, it's not just pretty good, it is perfect. God's will for us is perfect. What we see here is a picture of true freedom. Let me tell you something. True freedom is walking in the will of God. The will that God has for your life. If you can find out what that is for your life, you will discover true freedom in your life. It's a beautiful picture of freedom. So as we talked about last week, a life of freedom is a life where you know God, where you know his will for you, and where you know what his voice sounds like. The spirit that lives inside of you, you know what it sounds like. You know what it sounds like when he's directing and guiding your life. So the most powerful tool you have in your life, in your body right now, is your mind. In fact, the Bible says that it is with your mind that you serve the Lord and with your flesh that you serve sin. And that's why the enemy fights you in your mind. How many of you can be honest, and if we're all honest in this room, we can all say that there is a battle that goes on in our minds. In fact, there's a whole book written about it called The Battlefield of the Mind. I would recommend that anyone who wants to dig in deeper with this, that you would read that book. There's a battle that goes on in our minds. There's a battle between the Spirit of God that wants to rule and lead our minds and our lives. And there's that flesh that's also there. We see it in Romans chapter 7. Paul says, why do I have to fight this flesh part of me? Why is it that the things I want to do, I can't do? Why are the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing? Why is it that there's this battle going on inside of me? It's a battle that begins in our minds. And let me tell you this, the devil doesn't have to tie you up to have you bound. He just has to tie up your head with worry, with anxiety, with stress, with aggravation, with low self-esteem, with negative thoughts, with lies. He can have you bound if he can just get in there and have you and take over your thought life. He can make you physically sick if your mind is sick. How many of you know that if it's in your mind, it's your reality? You believe it. It doesn't even have to be real. Doesn't even have to be true. But if it's in your mind, in your thought process, if it's in there, if it's in your brain, to you, it's real. And that's the danger of this, is we hear things all the time. We see things all the time. We're exposed to things all the time. And once it enters into your mind, if you allow it to stay there, especially if it's damaging, if it's harmful, if it's hurtful, then what happens is you're allowing something to set into who you are that may not even be reality, may not even be real. Your mentality, by the way, if it's a little warm in here, just look at it as it's just the warmth of God, okay? It's unseasonably warm. And so we don't prepare for that here. We think it's going to be snowing outside this time of year. So sorry about it being a little warm. But again, it's just the warmth of the Lord. Feel the love. Your mentality will always be your reality. Say that with me. Your mentality will always be your reality. One more time. Your mentality will always be your reality. What's a mentality? A mentality is what we're talking about today. It's a way of thinking. And as we see in this translation, it says that God wants to transform you, and the way he's going to do that is he's going to change the way you think. So in essence, what God wants to do is he wants to change your mentality. He wants to change the way you think. Some of us might have a defeated mentality, a negative mentality or a negative way of thinking, a poverty mentality, a worry mentality, a selfish mentality where it's all about me. God wants to transform you, and the way he begins is by changing your mentality. Let me tell you how a mentality is changed. The way to change a mentality or a way of thinking is to expose yourself to a new, better way of thinking. To expose yourself to a new mentality. If most of what you're exposed to is negative or defeated or defeating, then most likely that will be your mentality. So what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the things that we just expose ourselves to in this world. There's things every day of our lives that we see, that we hear, that we're around. There's negative people that we're around. And if you look at a typical day in your life, if most of it is not good, if most of it is negative, if most of it is bringing you down, then most likely that's going to be your mentality. That's why the Word of God is so important. That's why listening and being led by the Holy Spirit is so important. That's why prayer is so important, because when you're doing these things, when you're reading the Word of God, your thoughts are on greatness. Your thoughts are on goodness. Your thoughts are on what's uplifting. Your thoughts are on what is God's plan for your life. What is his plan for humanity? When you're praying, what you're doing is you're actually taking your thoughts, you're casting your cares on someone that cares about you. And so your thought life changes because your focus is on that and not on all of this that's around us. And your mentality begins to change. Our mentality changes when we allow these things to happen in our lives. It's why teachings are so important. It's why what we do here is so important. That when I get up, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a good news of freedom, that Jesus came to set the captives free. And the more that we do that, listen, I am always up here kind of delivering the messages. And so I have to be fed myself throughout the week. So I have podcasts. I have people that I listen to. I have a podcast that I listen to regularly, a pastor out in California named Irwin McManus. I love listening to his teachings. There's another one out of Nashville. His name's Pete Wilson. And I love listening to these guys. I get fed by these guys because what it is it's the uplifting Word of God that I need in my life. And it's the Spirit's opportunity to speak to us. It's the Spirit's opportunity to renew our minds. Books, different things that we're watching, different things that we're listening to, motivational speakers, films. I don't know about you, but I feel like God speaks to me through art and through movies. I just recently watched a movie called 12 Years a Slave, and I felt like I went to church during that movie. Because all throughout that movie, I just felt like God was speaking to me. He showed me so much when it comes to freedom, when it comes to overcoming, when it comes to the difficulties of this world, and how God is involved in it, and how God wants to be a part of the things of our life. So I walk away from that movie, and I feel uplifted from it. Now, there's other things that I will expose myself to where I don't feel that way. And you guys know what we're talking about. True story, about 2 months ago, I was in the middle of a television series on Netflix, and I was watching this, and Amy started with me, but she couldn't keep up. I'm like, I was like, when you really get into it, I have to watch an episode tonight. I just have to, right? And she's like, okay, well, I'm going to bed. You know, she was pregnant at the time, and so she went to bed, and I kept watching this show. And one night we were talking, and we were in somewhat of a little argument. We never fight, ever, but this night was different. I don't know. It was so strange. But we were in an argument, and she stopped me, and she goes, you know what I've noticed? Every time you watch an episode of that show, you're super grumpy afterwards. And I looked at her, and I said, no, I'm not. And I realized, yes, I was. It was having an effect on me. And the things around us, our circumstances and the things that we allow into our lives so affect our mentality. Let me tell you something. For every hour of Jerry Springer that you watch, you need a good 2 to 35 hours of something positive something uplifting in your life in order to counter that. And let me tell you something. So many people walk around defeated and with no victory and just feeling so down all the time. But I look at their lives, and a lot of time it's like, well, no kidding. Like all you're exposed to is negative. All you're exposed to is the things of this world. You know, the Bible says here, it says, don't copy the patterns. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. It says, another translation says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. Why is it saying that? It's saying it because it's gonna depress you. It's gonna bring you down. It's gonna hold you back in life. It's why the Word of God is so important. And unfortunately, so often we look at our weeks and it's like, well, I read the Bible for 30 minutes that one day, a month ago. And then we wonder, why don't we feel all of the things that the Bible promises to us? And it's all available to us. But let me tell you something, you got to be exposed to it. You got to be exposed to it. These are opportunities for the Spirit of God to speak to us, to lead us. Listen to what Isaiah 26:3 says. It says, you keep him, he's talking about God, you keep us, it's him is us, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Right there. Whatever we're fixing our eyes on, whatever we're focusing our attention on, whatever we are exposed to is how we're going to feel. It's like what we eat. What goes in must come out. If we're eating good, we're going to feel good physically. If we're not eating good, we're probably not going to feel that great. Man, I know this to be true. When I was single, I think I was malnutrition, to be honest with you. And my wife came in. I remember when we started dating, she says, you don't eat good. You should probably change the way you eat. It's just the principle of what comes in has to come out. Whatever comes in is going to be fruit in our lives, whatever we're exposed to. Listen to what Paul says about this in Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read a couple different translations because I think this is really important. What Paul is doing here is he's showing us that we have the choice, all of us, of what we allow in. We actually all have a choice of what we're exposed to, which is we have a choice on what we want our mentality in this life to be. Our way of thinking, the way that we think. And remember, God wants to transform us. And how does he do that? He does it by the renewing of our minds, by changing the way we think. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians 4, starting with verse 8. Finally, my friends, keep your minds on whatever is true, pure, right, holy, friendly, and proper. Don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise. You know the teachings I gave you, and you know what you heard me say and saw me do. So follow my example, and God, who gives peace, will be with you. So here we see we have a choice on what we keep our minds on. We have a choice of what we are thinking about. Now, stuff happens in life, absolutely. And things come in that we're not expecting. Circumstances come up, and we're exposed to those things. And that affects us. But I'm telling you, the more you allow your mind to be renewed, you're more able then to handle the situations that come your way because you have a different worldview. You have a different perspective. You have a different mentality. It's a mentality that lines up with God's will for your life. Listen to how it's said in the Message version of the Bible. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. What are we exposing our lives to? What are we exposing our lives to? I remember when I was growing up as a teenager, I used to go to church camp every summer. Anybody in this room go to church camp when you were growing up? Oh, a lot of you. Awesome. And I remember I never really wanted to go, but I would end up going because I wanted to like meet a girl maybe or something like that. That's why I'd go to camp, to church camp. And it's a whole week where you're exposed to pretty awesome things, to be honest with you. At least for me it was. You have an amazing speaker that comes and speaks. You have an amazing group leader that really cares about you. You have people around you that love God, and you get to see miracles happen. I saw people healed from stuff in church camp and on mission trips that I would take, like miracles, awesome stuff. And so for a week long, you're exposed to these things, and you leave camp with a renewed mind and a fresh just love for God. And you go back home, and of course then you burn and break all your old CDs, which you'll buy again in a few months. There was a Guns N' Roses CD, I promise you. I burnt or broke that one, or tape. It was originally a tape, like, and then rebought it like 6 times. You too? Okay, yes, thank you. I'm not the only one. You'd break up with your friends, anybody? Yeah? You go home and you're like, in that camp, they're like, you better let go of those people because bad company corrupts good character, the Bible says. And so you'd go home and you're like, sorry, I can't be friends with you anymore. I'm holy and you're not. That's what I would do. I'm like, I'm sorry, you bring me down. Like, my mind was renewed. I have a new mind and you don't fit in. You're not a part of my new mind. And then 3 months later, it's like, hey, dude, what you doing tonight? Let's hang out. Camp has worn off. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about here? But if you could stay at camp all year long, you'd stay in this renewed mind. Your mind would continue to be renewed. But what happens is we get back into conforming to the things of this world, to copying the patterns and the customs and the behaviors of this world, and we get dragged down again, don't we? Now, I'm not saying to be a Christian you need to go away to camp and spend the rest of your week at camp. But make camp happen here, people. Come on. Make camp happen every day of your life. Wake up in the morning and expose yourself to goodness. Let God show you miracles in your life. Set up your day so that you actually will have the opportunity to hear from God and the Spirit of God, who is always speaking, not just at camp and mission trip. He's speaking every day of your lives. And he does that because he loves us, because he wants a relationship with us. But oftentimes it happens when we get away. And why? Because we unplug from the things of this world, don't we? I mean, we didn't have cell phones back then, but we'd go to camp. And still to this day, like in just this last year in Honduras, man, you feel close to God because you see what he's doing in people's lives, on your team and people that you're ministering to. He sees you see him at work, you hear him speaking to you. You don't have the distractions that can easily happen in life, and you actually, whoa, God, I actually feel you and hear you. And it's because you've allowed that to happen in your life. Unfortunately, in especially in this culture that we live in, our lives are so stinking busy, and we set them up with so much stuff that at the end of the day, it's no wonder we have no idea why our minds are so filled and why we're conforming to what the world. We're going to go in the direction that we're focused on. Whatever we feed grows in our lives. And I'm telling you, God wants to renew your mind and change the way that you think. He wants to renew our minds and change the way we think. I love this story. I've told this story before, but it was it's a story of a businessman who was so caught up in his career and making money that he didn't even notice that his teenage daughter started dating this girl. This was a teenage daughter that went to youth group and was a part of church all the time. He didn't even notice she started dating this guy, and the guy wasn't a very good influence on her. And before you know it, they were doing drugs together and drinking, and she was having thoughts of suicide. And so this man noticed that this was happening, and he went to his company. He says, I'm leaving for 2 weeks, taking my daughter away. And he took his daughter, spontaneous, just like that, and flew her over to the Dominican Republic. There was a ministry that they knew of over there, and they just went and they lived there for 2 weeks. They served at a couple orphanages there. They spent time together, completely just removed her from what she was in. And just that time away just completely renewed her mind. Came back, first thing she did was broke up with her boyfriend, stopped doing drugs, stopped the alcohol, stopped the things that were really bringing destruction in her lives. And from what I know, still to this day, she is on this path of pursuing God's will for her life. And I just see that as something that we all need to be willing to do, to spontaneously just say, okay, God, my life isn't set up to hear from you much. My life isn't set up to be led by your Spirit. So what can I do to change that? So let me finish by saying this. Whatever it is you're battling right now, whatever it is that has you captive, the answer is you need to come out head first. If you can get your head out, the rest will follow. We just had a baby. And we know this to be true. If the head comes out, everything else is going to follow. But you got to get the head out. Once you get the head out, everything else just kind of falls along with it. Free your mind and the rest will follow. Change your mentality, and I'm telling you, you'll see the most difference in your life than you've ever seen in your life. Even just studying for this for me has changed things for me. Some difficult things that I've gone through lately, it's like God just shows me this is why you were going through it. It's my will that I let you go through some of these things. It changes everything around us. Get your head out, and the rest will follow. Let's have the worship band come back up. I want to finish with a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And as they're coming up, I want to remind you of something we talked about last week. That transformation, freedom, true freedom comes only by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of us. Our passage, which is what we're going to read for this series, is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if the Spirit of the Lord lives inside of you, then freedom lives inside of you. And we can allow that Spirit that lives inside of us to lead our lives. And we saw last week in Romans that that's how we are led into freedom, is we let the Spirit of God do it. The example that we gave was it's the difference between a sailboat and a paddle boat. A sailboat, you let the wind take you. You let the wind push you. In a paddle boat, you are, especially if you're in the paddle boat alone, you're paddling, you're struggling. If you're anything like me, it's a nightmare. You go in circles, and then you end up somewhere where you think that you wanted to end up, only to look back exhausted, thinking, was that really worth it? Now, the thing we don't like about the sailboat idea, which is the Holy Spirit leading our lives, is in a sailboat, you don't always know exactly where you're going to end up. And we don't like not knowing. We don't want to give up control. We'd rather struggle with the paddle and have control over where we go than give up control and let the Holy Spirit take us where He wants to take us. In order to experience freedom, there's got to be the giving up of control in our lives. Control is essentially you're playing God. I know better than you, God. I'm going to do this on my own. And what God designed our lives to look like is that we would be led by the Spirit that lives inside of us, or else why would He do that? Why would He leave us with His Spirit? Jesus said when He left, He says, I'm leaving, but it's good that I go because I leave you with the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And so why would He leave us with the Holy Spirit if His intention was not to direct our lives? 2 Corinthians 7 or 3, 17 through 18 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces, which that veil is no longer there, Jesus, with what He did, He tore that veil. We are face to face with God, nothing separating us. Contemplate the Lord's glory. and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, our focus throughout this whole series is, will you allow the Spirit of God to do what he wants to do in your life, to lead you where he wants to lead you? Will you allow that to happen in your life? He wants to transform us. He wants to transform us from slavery into freedom. He wants to us to live our lives lightly and freely in the way that he intended that to look. Doesn't mean that we don't have any problems anymore, but it means that there's this freedom that's unspeakable that we can't even comprehend. And how does he do that? He does that by renewing our minds, changing the way we think, and it's the Spirit of God that does that in our lives. And it all begins by us just being willing for that to happen. My challenge for all of us this week is just on the subject of what we expose ourselves to. What are you exposed to on a weekly basis, on a daily basis? And just do an experiment. Just do like a couple days with how you're normally exposed to, and the negative people, the Debbie Downers, wah wah. And just let that happen, and take note of how you feel and what's going on in your mind, thoughts, your thought life, your process, your mentality. And then take a couple days, or take longer, hopefully the rest of your life, but change things up. You know what, maybe I should be around this person. They're really good for me, or in this group, or in this small group, this life group, or maybe I should, on the way to work, maybe listen to a podcast, listen to a teaching, maybe listen to this music rather than this, maybe let's watch this instead of that, whatever. And it's not focusing on the outward things, but it's just setting yourself up a little bit more to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, and then see what happens. Promise you, the Spirit shows up. When we worship, that's why we're going to worship again. You're thinking about God. Like, I love this song we're going to sing. It's what is it? It's the Break Every Chain song. That's the one I was thinking of. It's talking about that Jesus just so desires to break the chains in our lives and bring freedom in our lives. And when we sing that, what we're doing is we're actually proclaiming that that's who he is. And it's so good because our thoughts are fixed on that. And that's what I love about worship, is just, even if it's just for moments or for a time period, we're actually putting our mind on something outside of ourselves. So let's all stand together and let's worship him. And let's begin to let him, continue to let him, to change the way we think, to renew our minds.
God, once again, we just thank you, Lord, for this day that you've created us to come together in fellowship and come together to worship you. And we thank you, God, for your message of freedom, Lord, as we walk out of here, God, without chains and freedom. I pray that you continue the work that you've begun in every heart today, God, that when we hear those sounds of the shackles again, God, that we would lift our hands in praise and remember our freedom, God, and that you would just go with us in all that we do and be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.